Here is a special reminder for our on-demand and podcast listeners. KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Share-a-thon 2016, a three-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Share-a-thon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Share-a-thon, remember you can support us online anytime at KFUO.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts at KFUO.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO.
Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. A lot of great things to cover today here on Faith and Family. We'll get to those in a little bit. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family here on Worldwide KFUO. You can find out more about them on our website, KFUO.org. Find the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Well, a number of things. We've got a lot on our lineup today. We're going to learn about a grant and our friends at Lutheran Housing Support, how they're helping two ministries serve their community and reach out into the community. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit with our friends at Lutheran Housing Support, as well as pastors in those congregations. In the second half, we'll talk about LCMS Life and Health Ministry, what's going on with Life and Health Ministry, our parish nurse ministry, and what's going on with parish nursing, upcoming events as well. Lots of news this hour, lots of great things to look forward to in the coming year. Joining me by phone this morning, Nicole Ridley. She's the chief executive for LCMS National Housing Support. Nicole, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Good morning. Thank you.
Glad to have you back on Faith and Family. I always love talking about the great work that Lutheran Housing Support is doing. And we have two great stories today about a grant that is helping two ministries reach out into their community. Tell us a little bit about this, these grants.
Probably like a year and a half ago, LCMS, National Housing Support Corporation, was blessed to receive a grant from LWML, their mission grant, for $100,000. And we received that grant and, as a result, plan to use it to work with congregations, provide them the support so that they could provide critical home repair services to communities in which they serve for low-income families. And we sent out a request for proposal and received several proposals. And as a result, the two congregations, Trinity Lutheran and Unity Lutheran, and their community partners were recipients of the grant. And so that is what we're about to embark upon in this spring.
Well, looking forward to learning more about this. Joining us now, the Reverend Dr. Willie Stallworth, pastor at Unity Lutheran Church in East St. Louis. Dr. Stallworth, welcome to Faith and Family. Welcome back to Faith and Family.
Well, good to be back, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Looking forward to learning more about how Unity Lutheran Church serves its community and what the congregation is doing to meet those needs in the community. Also joining us by phone, the Reverend Dr. David Coe, Associate Pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Fremont, Nebraska. Dr. Coe, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thanks for having me today, Andy.
Oh, glad to have you as our guest and looking forward to learning about Trinity Lutheran Church in Fremont, Nebraska, and the needs of the community there. Let's talk a little bit about Pastor Stallworth. Let's talk about Unity Lutheran Church. This is a congregation in East St. Louis, and we've had a chance to talk about the ministry of the church and school there in East St. Louis and the blessing it is to proclaim the good news of Jesus in this community. For our listeners not familiar with East St. Louis, share with us a little bit about the community, the history of the community, and where we are today when it comes to East St. Louis.
Well, I think first, let's just kind of start with our presence there in East St. Louis as the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. Back in 1952, mission work got underway from a LWML grant to do mission work amongst African American and move the Lutheran Church into East St. Louis. That congregation was named St. John's Lutheran Church. And it thrived and did well, but up until about 1970, it was decided that that all African American church would merge with Trinity Lutheran Church, which was an all a white congregation, and merge and become Unity. Thus, you have Unity Lutheran Church, and so the church has been thriving fairly well. Over the years, however, the greatest challenge has been how to reach out to a changing community. East St. Louis experienced some of the unrest of the 70s and transition in changing communities, and it kind of was deteriorating and continued to deteriorate in its housing development and population. Well, about 3 to 4 years ago, Unity decided that it would engage in outreach ministry to the community. It then connected with Lutheran Housing Support, and from that they have been a walk-along partner with us in terms of how to address some of the changing some of the changes in the community which the congregation exists. And thusly, it has led us to this partnership, Helping Hands grant to address some of those problems.
Pastor Stallworth, what would you say are some of the greater needs in the community in East St. Louis?
I think the greatest needs would definitely be around the quality of homes and housing to provide to a citizen. But also you have a lot of socioeconomic decline there. The household population is also declining due to the quality of living in the community, and you have those who seek to live elsewhere, and then you have those who are left. But the church want to meet the community where it is, stabilize it, and make Lansdowne a place where anyone would want to live and raise a family.
So how has Unity Lutheran Church served that community? What are the ways that that Unity Lutheran Church, how's the congregation engaged the community and helped serve some of those needs?
For the housing specifically, we've developed the Lansdowne Community Initiative. And we 3 years ago, we employed an agency to come in and do a development plan to kind of present to us some of the challenges there in the community, and also kind of give us a roadmap of where we could get started. We have learned through that process that one of the greatest needs is renovation of homes, and not only just the renovation, but in some cases to build homes and provide quality homes for citizens of the community. But Unity also engaged in the educational process of parochial school, and I think many of the listeners know or have heard of Unity Lutheran Christian Elementary School, which got its start in Unity Lutheran Church. And many of the members, along with others throughout the Southern Illinois District and parish congregation, came together to establish that school, and that is I think it's in about maybe its 12th year of existence, and we'll graduate, we'll see its first graduates, first students graduate from our Metro Lutheran High School this year. So Unity has been engaged in these type of ministries and outreach ministries and to the community, and it's made it their mission to make certain that they are not just a church that worship were in sacraments in the morning, but that they also reach out into the community as the Lord would bid and have us to do.
How has working with Lutheran Housing Support and now this the new Helping Hand initiative grant, how has that helped Unity Lutheran Church serve the community, engage the community, and to also proclaim the good news of Jesus in East St. Louis?
I think the completeness of the work, the partnership with Lutheran Housing Support has culminated into this grant, and we thank God for that. But not only that, from the inception and from the organizing of the Lansdowne Community Initiative, Lutheran Housing Support has been right there, walk along, guiding, consulting partner with us. And without that effort, without that commitment from Fred Kimbrough, the director on Nicole's team, and Anna Paul, and Nicole herself, who was at the first meeting of us brainstorming about, can we do this? This is why we are where we are at now. So it's a tremendous blessing that we received through Lutheran House Support, through their advice and through their expertise and their guiding us along the development path of our community initiative, which is the Lansdowne Community Initiative. So it has been awesome. It has been tremendous, awesome blessing to have them as a partner in this initiative.
Pastor Coe, tell us a little bit about the community of Fremont, Nebraska, where you serve Trinity Lutheran Church.
Yes, sir. It is, we're 30 miles northwest of Omaha. And so slowly but surely, Fremont is turning into a bedroom community for Omaha. I would say most of our baby boomer, or not, I'd say our Gen X fathers who live in Fremont go to work in Omaha and commute. But we do have quite a bit of retired boomers and, of course, retired builders who live in Fremont. And so many retirees, and many of them, we do have some generational poverty in Fremont, Nebraska, and so lots of care needs to be done for home, especially in the central part of Fremont.
And so how does Trinity Lutheran Church engage members of the community? How do you serve the members of the community?
Yes, I think every church in the United States needs to be involved in some kind of home repair ministry. I would say in the next several decades, this will be one of the top five ways that we serve our not only our own members, but also our communities, especially with an aging large boomer population. I would say I'm a pastor, and this will be one of the top five ways we express our Christian faith in the next several decades. And so to help people, the fact that most everyone wants to not only retire, but also to stay in their home, and so many are unable to afford living in care homes as they do become more ill, our work allows them to stay in their homes safer and longer.
What are some of the greater needs in the Fremont community that that you see? Some that are being that are not being addressed, and some that are being addressed.
Yes, we work together. We have a very very good United Way here in Fremont, Nebraska, that has been outstanding at bringing all of even the faith community together to address generational poverty and the issues that go along with that. So a lot of prevention-oriented work is happening along with. So they really are focused on ministry outreach to young families and education of them, and helping the first 5 years to be as stable and solid as possible for children to get a leg up in their education early.
And so how does your partnership with Lutheran Housing Support and now the Helping Hand grant, how does that help Trinity Lutheran Church serve the community of Fremont. What will you be able to do now because of this grant?
We are so thankful to National Housing Support. They have just multiplied our work from Trinity. I've been blessed to, I've only been a pastor for 4 years, and this is my fourth year working with Rebuilding Together since I arrived in Fremont. And this allows us to expand our work this year. It allows the hearts of our congregation, the people, to be very encouraged to see that the Missouri Synod in St. Louis loves what we're doing and encourages us to continue in this wonderful partnership that we have with Rebuilding Together.
We're talking about two congregations here, Trinity Lutheran Church in Fremont, Nebraska, the Unity Lutheran Church in East St. Louis, both facing, you know, similar challenges in their communities, but two communities that are very different in different parts of the country. Yes, both, I guess you would consider in the Midwest, but both with their own unique challenges and ways that, that the congregations can serve in the community. Nicole, how is this an example of the diverse ways that Lutheran Housing Support can help congregations carry out the ministries they're given in their own unique communities?
Well, and we like to say that we can customize our services, the kind of guidance and support that we provide. And these two congregations actually exemplify the ways that we can do so. We started with Pastor Stallworth, working with him as he shared from inception. He just had a vision on how he'd like to serve the community, and we've been able to walk alongside of him and help build the partnerships and the relationships or expand the ones that he already had to bring that to fruition. And now this one grant will help launch the first piece of what it is that he would like to do. Pastor Cole, on the other hand, they already have a partnership, a wonderful partnership with Rebuilding Together. And so, as he shared, we're helping to provide resources to expand the work that they're already doing. And hopefully we can continue to work with Pastor Cole to even identify additional local resources and help continue to increase his capacity. And we get phone calls from LCMS entities just like this that are in several different stages of either inception or midstream of progress. So we're able to customize what it is that they need and to deliver the services that we can provide. So we say that we help identify solutions, help deliver knowledge and expertise to strengthen neighborhoods with the end goal of really being able to share the gospel.
Pastor Stallworth, if you were to look into the future, what would East St. Louis look like? How would Unity Lutheran Church and School be a part of the future of East St. Louis, and what you hope for in the future? What would it look like, say, 10 years from now, 15 years from now?
Well, very easily. I think we've forecast that in our strategic plan, and our strategic plan shows where we have transformed the community by changing the community simply by changing it. Where there's a deterioration, we want to build. Where there needs to be a repair done, we want to repair and renovate. But not only that, we not only want to educate a bill, we want to also educate the citizens, the people of this plight in East St. Louis, so that it will reflect a standard of living that you can find anywhere in a very progressive, stabilized community throughout the United States. And we hope that, and we pray that in the center of that will be our church and school and our extended ministries, such as we don't want Lutheran Housing Support to go away once we have accomplished this. We want them to continue to teach and train us. So how do we educate and train people to be financially responsible and be homeowners with the ability of not despair, but inspiration that we can give them hope to address some of the needs that they were probably saying would never happen or could never happen because of their economical disadvantages. And so we hope to be a holistic community of servicing people, and in the midst of that, anchored with the Word of God through our school, teaching them on a daily basis. We teach Jesus daily, and prayerfully, we then do not just say we're going to educate, but we have the soul of education by educating the soul of the people.
Pastor Coe, what about the future of Fremont, and what role do you think Trinity Lutheran Church has in the future? What do you hope Fremont will look like 10, 15 years from now?
Yes, Trinity was once a church that was in the center of Fremont, built in 1884, and since that time we've moved to the richer side of town in the 1980s on the east side. But our daycare, the largest daycare in Fremont, which serves about 150 something children, is in the old center blighted area of town, and this gives us an opportunity to continue to outreach to our neighborhood. Trinity wants to be a congregation that befriends and loves lower income families and offers them opportunities for friendship and discipleship of Jesus Christ. We've had a wonderful opportunity just this last year with someone that we served through Rebuilding Together. They just happened to be an inactive member of Trinity from, hadn't been in church in 30 years, but with that act of service that we were able to provide through Rebuilding Together, there's a new connection. The person is reconnected to church. Our members are visiting her regularly. She reads Portals of Prayer now and the Bible every day, and even some family troubles. There's been opportunity for conflict resolve to happen.
Nicole, the Helping Hand Initiative is obviously helping these congregations do what they're given to do, to serve in their community with the love of Jesus, to help their neighbors with their earthly needs, and gives them also opportunity to bring the Word of Christ into the lives of the people they serve there in the community as well. How has this Helping Hand Initiative been made possible? Who is behind this that helped Lutheran Housing Support make a connection and help these two communities serve their neighbors?
This is the second Helping Hand Initiative. So this is, we launched our pilot about a year and a half ago in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in partnership with Redeemer Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran downtown Fort Wayne. And they were able collectively to serve 9 families in collaboration with Laborers for Christ. And we were able to secure local resources in addition to some support from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We were able to provide funding to assist those families. Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Laborers for Christ, they are also part of Pastor Stallworth's project, so they will be providing labor and be involved in that project as well. So we help identify the resources, the financial resources, to partner with these congregations, as well as, you know, again, lend our in-house expertise on, you know, how do you connect with these families and what other outreach activities can be made possible through this initiative. Again, this particular grant this year was provided to LCMS National Housing Support through the LWML Mission Grant from the convention. So that's the resources that were secured for this particular project to assist Trinity and Unity.
If there's a congregation or a service organization that sees a need in their community and is already doing things to serve in their community. They want to know, they need help figuring out how they can go about these things. How do they get connected with Lutheran Housing Support and find ways that they might be able to serve their community better?
Well, if they're already serving, that's wonderful too. But if they have a desire as well and just don't know where to start, we can be we can assist in that way too. But they can reach Lutheran Housing Support via our website at www.nationalhousingsupport.org, or you can call our office. I can give you my direct number, which is 314-996-1376.
Wonderful. Nicole, thank you so much for your time today and for the work of Lutheran Housing Support. And I really appreciate you sharing this story with us.
Thank you, Andy.
And the Reverend Dr. Willie Stallworth, pastor, Unity Lutheran Church, East St. Louis. Pastor Stallworth, thanks so much for being our guest today and sharing with us about the ministry and the outreach of Unity Lutheran Church in East St. Louis.
Thank you, Andy, and it's always a blessing to be on with you.
And the Reverend Dr. David Coe, Associate Pastor, Trinity Lutheran Church, Fremont, Nebraska. Pastor Coe, thanks so much for being our guest and sharing with us about Trinity Lutheran Church's ministry and outreach there in Fremont, Nebraska.
Thank you, Andy, and thank you, LCMS National Housing Support. We are very blessed.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to learn about a number of things going on in LCMS Life and Health Ministry. We'll talk with Tracy Quatham, the manager of LCMS Life and Health Ministry, and we'll learn what's going on with LCMS Parish Nursing as well. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
It seems every time Cecile Richards takes a breath in front of a camera, either she or her organization, Planned Parenthood, get caught in lies. Most recently, their consent form given to women having abortions shows just how far they go to get their hands on the baby body parts. The form states, "Research using the blood from pregnant women and tissue that has been aborted has been used to treat and find a cure for such diseases as diabetes, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, cancer, and AIDS. None of that is true. It's a blatant lie." During a congressional hearing on Planned Parenthood, the abortion giant's star witness testified it was an inappropriate statement that should not have been made on that form. They'll do anything to make money off of abortion.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. More news today on Faith and Family. We're just getting all kinds of great updates and things going on. And it is time to check in with our next guest, Tracy Quatham, manager of Life and Health Ministry in the LCMS Office of National Mission. Tracy, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun.
We should call this Tuesdays with Tracy.
We should.
Well, we have all kinds of updates in life and health ministry. And the first thing we're going to get to is parish nursing. Karen Hartikoff, she's a coordinator for parish nursing, joining us by phone. Karen, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Well, hello. It's good to be here.
Good to have you on the phone today talking. I think we've talked on the phone. We've talked in person before. I think we had a chance to talk one time at the Rural and Small Town Mission Conference. Just try to cross paths wherever we can.
That's right.
Well, Karen, what's new in parish nursing today? You have a conference coming up soon, a newsletter out not too long ago. What's new in parish nursing?
Well, there's a lot going on as parish nurses serve within their congregation. You know, they're the professional nursing and spiritual caregiving. It's a unique combination to share God's mercy and compassion as they their concern is for the whole person. And so we want to support and encourage our parish nurses. Across the United States, there are just around 400 parish nurses, and of the 35 districts, we have about 32 district representatives. And so they then are connecting with the parish nurses in their respective districts. And what we try to do is we meet annually with the district representatives, and that is coming up in May 24th, 25th, right before Concordia's University of Wisconsin has a national parish nurse congregational health ministry conference, where parish nurses, congregational health members, pastors, anybody can come to this conference to get ideas and support and encouragement. So we meet with the district representatives right before that to encourage them as they go home and meet with their parish nurses. And so we do look forward to that opportunity. There's a lot of networking and sharing of resources.
And that's a lot of networking, a lot of work that all goes into that conference as well, and all the preparation for it and all those gathering for it. Karen, why is health so important in the life of our congregations and in ministry in general? Why is it important for us to be concerned about health, physical health and well-being?
Well, Concordia plans, they have a saying, be well, serve well. And that's just not for church workers. That's for all of us sitting in the pew. In order to love and serve our God, He has given us a body, and may we take care of it to the best of our ability. And parish nurses can help with that, with encouragement and education and things like that. So it's, I would say, for families to run around with our children and grandchildren, to meet with our community groups and to study the Word of God. It's all God made us as a whole person.
Let's talk about the conference that's coming up not too far away. What happens at the Parish Nurse Conference?
Well, Concordia, Carol Luters Bulbrook, professor, puts this together every year, and she does a wonderful job. She has keynote speakers, breakout sessions. So often, parish nurses will be doing the breakout sessions, sharing what works in their congregation with other parish nurses who are coming, so that they might be able to go home with this same idea and not have to reinvent the wheel. So it's a day and a half of a lot of information. There is even display tables. People may, entities come and display. And so that's one way. And then the networking time in between all these breakout sessions and presentations. There's, you know, time in the hallway, walking down the hallway. She starts the conference with the chapel service. The Concordia's regular Wednesday chapel service is where we start. So we are fully grounded in the Word of God throughout the whole thing.
So how does one become a parish nurse, and what kind of equipping is there to become a parish nurse? I know this conference certainly is one great way for equipping parish nurses to serve in the congregation, to serve in the community. How does one become a parish nurse?
Well, one needs to have an active license within the state where they're serving. And then we highly recommend an LCMS Parish Nurse Basic Course. There's different ones available, and actually on the website, www.lcms.org/health, under education, there's different places where you can get this. Concordia University Wisconsin-Mequon, they have a recognized program. And further down on that same page, you'll notice the Introduction to Parish Nursing video curriculum, which LCMS has. It's a relatively new format for people who are unable to physically go to Concordia for the four-day intense training. So this basic course allows everyone to not only know how to put our professional registered nurses, what we do, into context within a church congregational community setting. It also brings in the LCMS theology, which of course is very important as we each serve in the LCMS congregation.
Karen, how can we stay on top of what's going on with parish nursing and get news and information about the conference and other things? Is there a way that we can stay connected with what's happening in parish nursing?
Yes, there's the website, of course, is a wonderful opportunity. And when I mentioned there's 400 plus or minus parish nurses, part of the difficulty is there might be parish nurses that are serving within LCMS congregations and we don't know about it. So, you know, the more that we can connect parish nurses with each other, the better it is for the parish nurse to get continuing education for her specialty of parish nursing, which is a recognized specialty of faith community nursing. Under the in the education section, further down, there is a special topics videos, which is a new area. There's a couple already on there. And in June, Reverend Dr. Leopold Sanchez, the director of the Center for Hispanic Studies at Concordia Seminary, will present Theology of the Cross versus Theology of Glory with implications for parish nurses. This is just another way to help parish nurses stay grounded in our LCMS theology.
Very good. Karen, thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family. Always love getting an update from you on parish nursing. Thanks for all you're doing.
Thank you for having me.
Tracy, how do we stay informed about what's going on in life and health ministries, especially parish nursing? That's on the website, right?
Like Karen said, go to our website, a great place for resources. One other thing about parish nurses is we don't just have Lutheran parish nurses in the United States. We have Lutheran parish nurses internationally as well, and are working on expanding that a bit to make that parish nurse be the resource in the congregation and the community internationally. And with some of our church partners, what we found out is with that parish nurse there providing education and some prevention, mm-hmm. many of the clinical services that we also provide aren't needed anymore.
Just through simple health education.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, I'm grateful for our parish nurses. And as Karen mentioned, we may have parish nurses who are serving in LCMS congregations who may not realize that there's a bigger network of parish nurses. So by all means, get in touch with Karen or Dr. Marcy Schnorr. And did I get that right? Schnorr.
Mm-hmm.
And they can help you get connected with that. And certainly the conference is a great way to get connected.
It is a wonderful way. Yeah.
Well, that's just one part of LCMS Life and Health Ministries. What else is going on? You're getting ready for a Mercy Medical Team this summer, right?
I am. We have one in Tanzania right now. They'll be returning in a day or two, and then we'll be back in Kenya in June and Madagascar in July.
How long have they been in Tanzania? About
10 days.
10 days?
They finished. They're doing some sightseeing today. I had a text of a picture there at Mount Kilimanjaro.
Wow.
So,
now, how interesting. This is a little bit of trivia about me. One of my favorite Easter hymns comes from Tanzania.
Okay, which one?
Christ Has Arisen.
Okay.
Do you know that one?
I do.
It's one of my favorite Easter hymns, and I believe it comes from Tanzania. How great would it be to be there during the Easter season? I wonder if they got to sing that at all this week.
We'll have to ask them when they return home.
How many people are on this? Any idea how many might be on this team are in Tanzania?
We sent 6 from LCMS Health Ministry, mm-hmm. and then there'll be a team of local Tanzanian people from the Lutheran Church in Tanzania, and also some personnel from our East Africa field office.
Was this our first trip to Tanzania?
It is the first time we've been to Tanzania, so the start of a great relationship.
I can't wait to hear the stories mm-hmm. when they get back.
So if you follow the LCMS mm-hmm. Mercy Medical Team Facebook page, which if you don't, you should go on. There have been some blog posts and mm-hmm. other things that tell about the trip.
How exciting. Well, I can't wait to hear from them. And you're going on one of the trips this year as well, right?
I am. Later this summer, I'll be traveling with the team.
And you're going to Madagascar.
Exciting time. Always good to go back and see my friends mm-hmm. there and to serve the people in the Lutheran Church of Madagascar.
And we have a new way for students, nursing students, to learn something, to gain a whole different experience than you would in any regular nursing program.
We do. We've had for a while now scholarships for students studying health professions, mm-hmm. and that has developed into kind of a partnership with Concordia Irvine. They will be in November sending a team of student nurses to Madagascar to work at the hospital, work in the field, and as part of that, will hopefully receive credit for mm-hmm. community health education.
Wow. Any idea how long they might be? Do we know how long they might stay in Madagascar?
We'll be probably 10 days in the field. They'll be doing some learning beforehand mm-hmm. and afterwards with their instructors, but really an exciting, exciting partnership.
Absolutely. Could you imagine being a nursing student and having an opportunity like this?
I know I was on the trip last year when two students from Irvine went. We were kind of mm-hmm. investigating the possibilities, and really to see the students in the field getting hands-on experience and seeing nursing as their vocation mm-hmm. rather than just a career, it's an amazing thing.
You know, I think about a lot of the liberal arts students who get many have opportunities to study abroad, maybe for a semester or a quarter, maybe even a whole year. Sometimes these study abroad opportunities, learning in other cultures, are overlooked for students in health professions. How great for these Concordia University Irvine nursing students to get to go to Madagascar.
It is. We'll have to come and talk about it after we get back.
Yeah. So. And it was Professor Hobus, I think, that talked with us about that. The couple of students mm-hmm. she went with this last year, and great stories about that.
It is, and really a wonderful opportunity even just to see the differences in the nursing profession and how it's practiced in different areas is valuable.
Now, you're going back to Madagascar. You said you have friends there from previous trips. How many times have you gone? Once?
This will be my third trip back.
Wow.
And a wonderful relationship with the church, a wonderful relationship with the Lutheran Hospital in Ansira mm-hmm. Bay there. This year, my daughter has been anxiously waiting until she turned 18, and she will be joining us.
Oh, wow. So mother-daughter Mercy Medical Team to Madagascar. What are some of the things that have stood out for you in the past on your trips to Madagascar?
The thing you bring back from every trip is you think you're going there to serve people, mm-hmm. but really you are served. And our participants come back with a renewed sense of faith, of community, mm-hmm. and the global body of Christ.
Yeah, I know you work closely with the local church there, and I'm trying to remember, what is the language, the common language
in Madagascar?
In Madagascar.
They speak Malagasy, mm-hmm. and then many people also speak French.
So what is, like, when you gather for prayer, for worship, do you have opportunities for that, you know, to do that with the local church?
We do. We'll have translators mm-hmm. so that we can translate back and forth what is said. A lot of times what will happen is our Malagasy friends will sing a hymn in Malagasy. We'll sing it in English, and same hymn, same words, same God. So.
Have you learned any phrases, anything in Malagasy?
Very few things that I say to the team all the time. Let's go, hurry up. So nothing very practical, but
let's go. How do you say that? Do you remember?
I'm afraid my accent is probably horrible, but Monday is seek. Let's go.
So. In the most American way we could say it, right? Well, I'm glad that you're going back to Madagascar. We've got a team in Tanzania right now, and a number of other teams that are forming. And are there still opportunities, a few spots open?
There are. We've just opened a new team back to Madagascar in November, and we may be adding another one in November, possibly to Kenya.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So the place to find out about that, again, on the LCMS website.
LCMS.org/mercyteams.
LCMS.org/mercyteams. You can find out about the teams that are going. And, of course, you can follow on Facebook, see pictures and get updates from the teams as well.
Right.
That's really neat. So Mercy Medical Teams, nursing students going on, doing part of their education with that as well. LCMS Life Ministry at the National Youth Gathering.
Yes, we have planning underway. I can't reveal too much now, but a big surprise. I would encourage anyone who's going to be at the National Youth Gathering, stop by the Life Ministry area. Mm-hmm. We're sharing space with Lutherans for Life, a recognized service organization.
Sure.
And we're also bringing our friends from Thrive Pregnancy Resource Center down.
Oh,
so
cool.
We will all be there together. Some wonderful, fun activities. But then, like I said, a big surprise. So.
Wow. Well, we are planning on being there too. KFUO is planning on being at the National Youth Gathering, and we'll be hopefully in that space, hopefully not too far from our friends at Lutherans for Life and LCMS Life Ministry. And I can't wait to see the big surprise, find out what it is.
Yeah, and stop by. We'd be happy to have you wear a pregnancy belly, perhaps do some common tasks, pick up something off the floor, tie your shoes, and maybe experience a little bit what it's like to be pregnant.
I'm sure my wife would appreciate seeing that. We had one of those, we had a couple of those when I was in high school in some of our classes that I never did. There were so few of them, I never took advantage of the opportunity to wear one. But I have great respect for my wife and for all mothers that especially birth mothers who go through that nearly 10 months of carrying a child around. We live on the third floor, and my rule was that my wife was not allowed to carry anything up or down the stairs during pregnancy. And that kind of continued on after pregnancy was over somehow. I still have the responsibility of carrying anything up or down. Well, not anything, but just about everything up and down the stairs.
As it should be. So.
Especially trash and things like that. No, mom and wife shouldn't have to carry that stuff up and down the stairs. All right, so exciting stuff at National Youth Gathering coming up in July with LCMS Life Ministry. Again, follow on LCMS.org under Life and Facebook as well.
Facebook, Life Ministry has a Facebook as well. Like I said, if you're not following it, you should be. So find those two groups, join, and that way you'll stay up to date.
I don't want to get you in trouble, but any hints as to what this big surprise might be?
I can't say, but it is a big one. And
does it involve someone that we may have on KFUO from time to time?
It does. So.
Am I part of the surprise? It's a big surprise for me, huh? No. Someone probably far more interesting than me, I'm sure. LCMS Life Conference, that's coming up just under a year from now. That's coming up in March of 2017, right?
In January.
January. Why did I say March? Because I'm thinking the March for Life. The March for Life. That's what I was thinking. In January. So well under a year. Mm-hmm. January 2017 in Washington, D.C. Life Conference. It's been a while since we've had one. We have it, what, every other year?
Every other year. There's information up on the website already. Registration will open over the summer, and we are expecting a great conference, great speakers, really good time.
A good time had mm-hmm. by all. Yeah, the past speakers have been great. I know you all are working on lining up the speakers. Good topics for this next conference as well.
We are. What we're kind of focusing on this time is many times people were in conjunction with the March for Life, and many times people see that as strictly an abortion issue. Mm-hmm. And this time we're really focusing on that whole spectrum of life, from conception, end of life issues, disabilities, really everything, because life is more than just birth and death. It's everything that happens in between.
Sure. That's, I was sharing with someone what this program, Faith and Family, is all about. And I was like, I tried to explain, it's everything about life from the early stages of development, from conception to end of life issues. So from womb to tomb.
That's right.
Is what we cover on Faith and Family.
I didn't realize Faith and Family is a life ministry program.
So. we cover everything, you know, that pertains to family life, and even those very very critical months in those, you know, those early stages of development. We try to cover those here on Faith and Family to end of life issues as well. We try to cover those and everything that happens in between. We try to cover them here on Faith and Family. Just a reminder to our listeners, if you have a topic you'd like for us to address here on Faith and Family, the email address, family@kfuo.org. We always love getting questions and responses from our listeners. Maybe it's a topic you want Tracy to cover here on Faith and Family. Tuesdays with Tracy.
Always happy to come.
One thing that you mentioned before in our notes that I forgot to ask about, and this goes back to the Mercy Medical Teams, is how congregations, a class, or a family might get connected with what's going on with these Mercy Medical Teams. Does this mean like real time?
Real time. This is an exciting new program. Hopefully we'll launch it in July when we're out in the field in Madagascar, but a way for a classroom, a Sunday school, a youth group to be in on what the team is doing in real time before they go, during the trip, and after they come home.
Wow. So. How is that going to work for connectivity in Madagascar?
Well, we do have a disclaimer. Based on availability, yes, of internet, Madagascar is one place where the internet is very reliable. And so we'll be able to send pictures, stories, videos from the field, depending on where we are. And if it's requested, we may be able to do a live kind of Skype.
Yeah.
But with the time change, it's a little difficult. But
what, you don't want to get up at 3 a.m.?
Yeah. So, but yes, really to see what we're doing, how we're, mm-hmm, doing it, and really the most important part, to share the stories that are happening that just,
right,
people don't hear about.
Yeah, so. And to have the chance to do that, I mean, in practically real time, yes, I forgot, right, about the time difference. That makes a big, that's a significant, mm-hmm, difference. I know when I've had the opportunity to share in interviews with some of our friends in parts of Africa, that I forget about the time difference. And so I have to schedule like for 5 a.m. times for me, which is later, right, in the evening for them. But it all works out in the end.
It,
well,
does.
That's really great.
Yeah,
thanks,
it's
for
an exciting thing. So be watching for it. We'll have it on our website and ready to go.
All right, lcms.org/mercyteams, and, mm-hmm, you can follow them on Facebook as well. Tracy, anything else? Just a few seconds left as we wrap up. Any other news to share?
Always many things going on. Visit our website. Mm-hmm. We have newsletters. Sign up for those and stay informed. And anytime you have a question, just contact us.
That's how I stay informed too. I get those newsletters.
Right.
That's,
mm-hmm,
how I hear about what's going on with parish nursing as well. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today, Tracy Quatham, manager, LCMS Life and Health Ministries.
Great. Thanks for having me.
And just a reminder to our listeners, coming up Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week, Share-a-thon 2016. Partner with us as we embrace the future. Learn about becoming a day sponsor. Help us tell the good news about Jesus around the world. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Up next, Thy Strong Word.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.